You're listening to GRayRecords.com, your place for music plus more. You enjoy.
Does the music industry have control over the algorithm? Hi, this is Inara, a spokesperson for the G-Ray Records Music Network. Now, this podcast will be discussing how streaming and social media algorithms may have fractured the traditional music industry's power structure. These algorithms may prioritize user engagement for many music platforms rather than follow the strategic plans of record labels. The podcast highlights how music is being reshaped to fit algorithmic preferences, possibly favoring short, catchy content over longer artistic expression. Ultimately, our podcast suggests that independent artists are uniquely positioned to thrive in this new landscape by adapting their strategies to algorithmic preferences, leveraging direct fan engagement, and creating platform new content. So let's dive into this discussion about how the music industry could be adversely affected by the algorithms of many music platforms. Enjoy the podcast.
Notice your music recommendations are maybe a little too good, or I don't know, sometimes a little too much of the same thing. It's a strange feeling, isn't it?
It really is. Sort of convenient, but also limiting.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into how algorithms, especially from the big players like Spotify, TikTok, YouTube, are, well, completely reshaping things. Not just how we listen, but what music gets made, who even gets heard.
And the whole future of the music industry, really. It's huge.
It is. We've pulled together some fascinating sources, investigative journalism, insights from artists like Lizzo, who's won multiple Grammys.
And some sharp industry analysis, too.
Our mission here is to really unpack what this whole algorithmic shift means for you, the listener, and for the artists you care about. And maybe what we can do to keep that human element alive in music.
Which feels increasingly important.
Okay, let's get into it. Because what's happening behind your playlists? It's way more complex than it looks on the surface.
Yeah.
So think back. How did we used to find music? It felt more human, didn't it? Social, almost.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
You know, digging through record crates with friends, maybe getting a tip from someone at the shop.
Or finding a cool blog or someone making you a mixtape. There was that emotional connection, that story.
Exactly. It wasn't just the song, it was the who and how. That recommendation from a person, it carried weight. It felt like a shared thing.
Totally. And then, boom, the algorithms arrived. Spotify's Discover Weekly, Release Radar, all these AI playlists.
And they are convenient. You can't deny that. They make it so easy to find music that, well, sounds good to you.
Right. They learn what you like and feed you more of it. It feels like discovery, but maybe that's the trick.
Well, that's the core issue, isn't it? They're designed to maximize engagement, keep you listening, keep you on the platform. And to do that, they create this like super personalized niche for you.
Like a little box.
Sort of, yeah. A filter bubble or an echo chamber. You think you're exploring, but often you're just getting, well, variations on a theme you already know.
Yeah.
Same genres, same eras.
So you're not really bumping into genuinely new or different stuff as much.
Less often, probably.
Yeah.
And it raises that question. Is all this convenience making us miss out on real artistic exploration? that happy accident of finding something amazing completely outside your usual zone.
Yeah, that's serendipity. And it's not just us listeners, is it? This is changing how artists actually make music. That's where it gets really wild.
Oh, absolutely. Artists are, in many ways, creating for the algorithm now.
You see it in the song lengths, right? Getting shorter and shorter. What was that stat?
Yeah, the average Billboard track length.
Yeah.
It dropped from over 4 minutes back in the early 2000s to just, 3 minutes and 7 seconds in 2021.
Wow. And the choruses hit you almost immediately, like within the first 15 seconds sometimes.
And there's a very clear financial reason for that. It's tied to how streaming platforms count plays.
The 30-second rule.
Exactly. Spotify, for instance, counts it as a stream after 30 seconds. So artists are heavily incentivized to grab you instantly. Make sure you don't skip.
Before that 30-second mark ticks over. So they front load everything, the hook, the chorus.
Right, which often means sacrificing, you know, maybe a slower build, a more intricate arrangement, what you might call true storytelling within the song structure.
It makes sense. I remember Old Town Road back in 2019, just dominating everything. Short, catchy, instantly memorable. Labels definitely took notice.
Oh, for sure. It became a kind of blueprint for hacking engagement. And this pressure,
yeah,
it also pushes towards a certain sameness, wouldn't you say? Homogeneity.
Yeah, if something works in the algorithm, everyone jumps on it.
It's logical, in a business sense.
Yeah.
Look at country music streaming, huge increase, like 287% in 6 years.
So suddenly you see Post Malone, Beyonce, artists known for other things making country tracks.
Because the data suggests that's a way to, quote, hack the algorithm lately. It might be less about pure artistic vision and more about following the data trail.
But okay, it gets even more, I don't know, concerning when you hear about the anonymous artist.
Ah, yes. That's a really interesting and frankly troubling aspect.
These algorithmic playlists, they're often full of artists you've never heard of, right? And you might listen to a whole mood playlist and not know a single artist or track name.
And that's not an accident. According to some investigations, like Liz Pelly's work in Mood Machine, it's somewhat by design.
What did she find?
Well, she reported on Spotify partnering with specific production companies. Names like Epidemic Sound, Firefly Entertainment came up.
Okay.
These companies hire musicians, often on a work-for-hire basis, to create loads of generic-sounding background or mood music.
So like chill vibes or focus flow type stuff?
Exactly. Then these tracks get released under made-up artists' names, and Spotify's own teams apparently help seed them onto popular playlists.
And the musicians?
They get a flat fee, usually. They sign away their rights. And crucially, Spotify pays lower royalties for these tracks compared to what they'd pay an independent artist or a label artist.
Wow, so it's cheaper for Spotify.
Much cheaper. And it directly pushes out real independent artists, say, jazz musicians or ambient composers who could have actually earned income from those playlist spots.
Okay, here's where it gets like genuinely chilling for me. This focus on anonymous music, the pressure to make algorithm-friendly tracks, where does AI fit in?
That's the shadow looming over all of this. If listeners are already used to playlists full of unknown artists, well, how big a leap is it to start swapping in AI-generated tracks?
And you might not even notice the difference.
Potentially not, especially for background music. And the financial motive for Spotify or any platform is huge. Royalties are their single biggest expense.
So if they can generate music via AI and not pay royalties,
their profit margins go way up. It's a massive incentive. And Spotify's CEO hasn't exactly hidden from this. He said they won't ban AI music.
So it really makes you question, are we losing artistic integrity here? Is it all just becoming content for the machine?
It's a fundamental shift, potentially, away from human expression and connection towards optimize engagement metrics. It feels like the soul is being squeezed out sometimes.
And it's not just indie artists feeling this pressure. Even huge stars are struggling with this new landscape. Lizzo was pretty outspoken about it recently.
She was. She said the music industry is, quote, in complete shambles. Her reason, there is no control over the algorithm.
Wow. That's a big statement from someone at her level.
It is. She talked about how it used to be different, you know, labels servicing songs to radio, aiming for mass reach. But now, she says no one can serve the masses anymore.
Even someone like her, or Lady Gaga, or Drake, they put out new music, and even their own fans might not see it.
That's what she highlighted with TikTok. Huge following, but only a tiny fraction actually see her posts sometimes. The algorithm decides, not the follower count.
So she started that private Lizzo IRL page, trying to build that direct connection like Taylor Swift does with the Swifties.
Exactly. It's about finding your people because the algorithm isn't built to serve the artist or even the label necessarily. It serves platform engagement, keeping users on the platform.
Labels can't just dictate what gets pushed anymore.
Nope. Lizzo called it a wild, wild west and a guessing game. She said artists can be forgotten in 4 weeks in this microwave society. It's brutal.
But here's the twist, right? She also said this chaos, it's an opportunity, especially for new artists.
That's the paradox. Because the old gatekeepers are losing power, independent creators can potentially bypass them. Lizzo actually said new artists have an advantage over even major artists in connecting quickly.
How so?
Because the algorithm doesn't care about your legacy or your label deal. It rewards, as she put it, relevance, engagement, and experimentation. If you can tap into that, you can find an audience directly.
Okay, so this chaos, it actually levels the playing field in some way.
It can, yeah. It disrupts the old power structures.
Mm-hmm.
And it suggests a shift towards artists building their own communities intentionally, rather than just chasing mass appeal through gatekeepers.
So for an independent artist listening right now, what's the game plan? How do you navigate this wild west?
Well, the sources we looked at, like G-Ray Records, lay out a pretty clear playbook. It starts with controlling your own space.
Yum.
Build your own website, your digital headquarters, put everything there, music embeds, your merch, tour dates, and really important, use smart links.
Those links that send fans to their preferred streaming service?
Exactly. Unify everything. Don't just rely on social media profiles you don't own. First step, own your platform.
Makes sense. What's next? Playlists are still huge, right?
Absolutely. But be strategic. Targeted playlist outreach. Don't just spray and pray. Research curators for specific genres or moods like late night vibes and pitch them directly. Or use dedicated platforms like Playlist Push or Submit Hub.
Be specific, not generic. Got it. And content. Everything short form now.
You have to embrace the micro content strategy. Chop your songs into loopable hooks for TikTok, Reels, Shorts.
Mm-hmm.
But also share behind the scenes stuff. Lyric meetings.
Show the process.
Yeah. And maybe even test stuff out on a private TikTok like Lizzo does. See what resonates before you go wide.
Okay, so own your site, target playlists, make micro content. What else?
Don't forget traditional-ish outreach, but make it niche. Pitch to music blogs and indie podcasts in your specific genre. Offer them exclusives. Build relationships there.
And the technical side, getting your music onto Spotify.
Choose your distributor carefully. Go with one Spotify prefers: DistroKid, TuneCore, CD Baby, Amuser often mentioned. Check that they offer good analytics and, crucially, that you keep your rights.
Super important. Don't sign away your ownership.
Never. Then, once the music's out there, activate your fan base. This is key.
How do you do that effectively?
Email lists are still powerful. Discord communities are great for building real connection. Offer exclusives, early access, maybe let fans vote on merch designs, make them feel like part of the journey.
Turn listeners into collaborators almost.
Exactly. And use the data. Look at your skip rates, your completion rates, which tracks get saved, A/B test things like thumbnails. Learn and iterate.
And maybe don't try to be too polished.
That's a great point. Sometimes that raw, imperfect aesthetic really connects. Shows authenticity. Don't be afraid to be real.
So all these strategies, it sounds like it's less about trying to reach everyone.
Totally. It's not about trying to get to the masses. It's about connecting deeply with your people. Even just 100 true fans who buy your merch, come to shows, tell their friends. That can be sustainable. That can mean thousands of dollars.
That's a different way of thinking about success in music. More community, less broadcast.
It really is. But there's a big warning that comes with this.
Let me guess. Fake engagement. Buying streams.
Bingo. Don't do it. Platforms like Spotify and Instagram are actively removing fake streams and followers. It's pointless, unsustainable, and it's just the appearance of having fans, not the reality. Follower counts on Spotify especially mean very little. Engagement is what matters.
Okay, so that's the artist side. What about us, the listeners? How do we fight back against the algorithm's grip, so to speak? How do we keep the human element alive?
It's about being more intentional, I think. We don't have to ditch the algorithms entirely. They're useful sometimes. But we need to consciously mix in human curation.
So practical steps. What can someone listening do this week?
Okay, first, ask your friends what they're listening to. Just have a conversation about music. Get human recommendations.
Simple but effective.
Second, get offline. Go to a local record store. Browse. Talk to the people who work there.
Yeah.
Go see a live band, even if you don't know them.
Experience music physically, communally.
Exactly. Third, and this is a big one, if you can, buy the music, especially from indie artists. Use Bandcamp, buy merch, buy a download from Amazon or Kobo's, direct financial support makes a huge difference.
Put your money where your ears are?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Fourth, listen with intention. Set aside some time just to listen, not just have music on in the background. Really pay attention.
Dive deeper than just the playlist shuffle.
Yes, which leads to five. Discover the whole artist. If you like a track on a playlist, click through, listen to their album, see if they're touring. Become a fan of the artist, not just the song.
And finally,
be vocal. Shout out artists you love on social media. If you hear something great out somewhere, Shazam it. Don't let that moment of connection just fade away. Follow up on it.
It sounds like it boils down to conscious consumption, doesn't it? Remembering there's a person, a creator behind the sounds.
It's it entirely. And asking ourselves, how can we actively shape a more human-centered music future? It requires a conscious effort from us as listeners.
Because the alternative is what? Algorithms just swallowing everything.
That's the risk, that the algorithms just garble up the entire music industry, as one source put it. We have to keep that human connection alive. Algorithms as tools, fine. Algorithms as the entire experience, we lose something vital.
We lose the humanity.
We lose the soul of it.
Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive, we've seen this double-edged sword of algorithms. The convenience is real, but so are the risks to artists, to discovery, to the art itself.
But we've also seen how this disruption creates new paths, especially for independent artists who can build those direct connections.
So maybe the final thought for everyone listening is this. The next time your Discover Weekly or your favorite mood playlist serves you a track, pause for a second. Think about who you're listening to, and maybe more importantly, why you're listening.
Are you letting the code decide entirely? Or are you choosing to be an active participant in this amazing, messy, totally human thing we call music?
Food for thought. Thanks for unpacking all that with me today.
My pleasure. It's a fascinating and critical conversation to be having.